Well, this is just a remarkable project. A lot of pianists have, you know, recorded the whole cycle of piano sonatas of Beethoven, but you've gone above and beyond that. You've taken this idea out of the recording studio into the concert hall. So can you paint a picture for us of what Beethoven Unbound actually is, this 12-CD set?
Well, it's basically all the significant works for solo piano by Beethoven. So all the 32 sonatas are there. The Diabelli variations, Eroica variations, some of the Bagatelles, Andante Favori, and so on. And basically the idea came about when the Wigmore Hall here in London asked me to do a 9-concert series of, well, they said originally the piano sonatas, but as the piano sonatas themselves only fill about 7.5 concerts, I had to include these other pieces. And a very good friend of mine, Judy Sherman, who is a record producer originally from Cleveland, Ohio, and now lives in New York.
Oh.
And she's been a fan of mine for many years, and she learnt about this project and was very keen to come over here for each concert and record it, each concert. So that's how it came about, basically.
So you had, this took place over a few years, right, these concerts?
Yes, we started in October 2014, and we finished in the spring of 2017.
Maybe for listeners who are not familiar with Wigmore Hall and have never been there, can you sort of give us a sense of what Wigmore Hall is and what the space is? It's a remarkable place to perform, I imagine.
Yes, it's, well, it's quite a small, intimate concert hall in central London. It seats about 400 people, 450 maybe, and it's a wonderful acoustic for chamber music and Lieder in particular. All the famous Lieder singers want to sing there and have sung there, but it's also a great acoustic for solo piano. And I like recording live because it makes so much such a big difference to record live rather than just get up in the morning and try and record at 10 o'clock in the morning in an empty studio. You can't get the adrenaline going in that sort of situation. So working in Wigmore Hall is a privilege.
Yes, I was curious to ask your thoughts about recording in the concert hall with a live audience versus in the studio. So the live audience gives you that sense of adrenaline rush, how does it enhance your performance, having people actually there listening to you?
Well, the composer Benjamin Britten used to talk about the triangle between the composer, the performer, and the audience, and if one side of the triangle is missing, then it's never quite right. So when you're just playing for yourself or playing in an empty studio, sometimes you feel something is missing, that link to a live audience.
Yeah.
So it's an adrenaline rush, as you say. But obviously it's more challenging to do it that way because you're more prone to making mistakes and so on in the concert. So that's why we recorded all the rehearsals. I basically played the whole thing in the rehearsal in the afternoon and do post-concert patches and so on so we could get the whole thing as perfect as we possibly could.
Well, there's still a great sense of intimacy. It transfers very well to the recording. I wonder if when you put together these recital programs, did that affect the order that you did the pieces in on the CD?
No, we've organized the pieces on the CD more or less in the order we arranged them in the concert. So
okay.
The first concert was the first three sonatas plus the Appassionata, which is what we have on the CDs. Basically, I arranged each concert so that each program had one of the famous pieces, one of the ones with nickname like the Appassionata, the Moonlight, and so on, and some of the lesser-known pieces, because the pieces with nickname always bring a few more audience members in, sells a few more tickets.
Yeah.
So that was basically my idea of arranging the programs. And I've arranged them on the CD so that each CD sort of plays like a mini recital in itself.
Yeah. You are, of course, a Welsh pianist, and I read a fun quote from you where you said there are no Welsh pianists, just a lot of singers and harpists.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, can you tell us a little bit about your own background? I know that you weren't necessarily raised in a musical family, but your parents did expose you to music, right?
Yes, they were listening to a lot of mainly vocal music, opera. My father was very keen on opera in those days, on the gramophone. And there are a lot of choirs, lots of singing going on in our local area. But
did you sing as a child?
Not really, but I was always too busy playing the piano for the choirs. I used to be the accompanist for a male voice choir in my teenage years when I was about 14.
Mm. I know you've said that you enjoy opera, and of course you've worked collaboratively with a lot of singers, also with instrumentalists. Can you talk a little bit about how does opera perhaps relate to Beethoven? Because I hear a lot of emotion in your performance, and I'm wondering if your love of the great operas of Verdi and Wagner maybe have an effect on your approach to Beethoven.
I don't think of it consciously in that way. Maybe something subconsciously goes into it. I don't know, but I can't really describe particularly well the way I perform. I mean, I just look at the score and I try to find out objectively what's in there. And then people come back to me afterwards. They say, oh, the way you play is quite unique and you sound like no other pianist. But I don't really set out to be different. I just...
You just do what
comes naturally.
It just
comes out in that way. Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Can you talk a little bit about some of this music, some of the highlights of the music? Because one of the things that strikes me over and over again when I listen to great performances of Beethoven is how unpredictable, he sounds given the time that he was working in. And when you hear something, you get lulled into this sort of sense of harmony and melody, and then something interesting happens. I like how you characterize the G minor Fantasia as totally bonkers, right?
Yes.
Can you talk about that quality of Beethoven?
Well, I think that's an extreme example, the G minor fantasy. It's like an improvisation. That's the way he would have improvised in private, I think. It's one idea, then he gets tired of that, and then he tries another idea. And it's quite interesting. He finds a beautiful idea in B major towards the end of the piece, and then he builds some variations on that. So it's like thematizing the process of composition itself, looking for the right idea and then finding it. But that's an extreme example, as I say. But yes, there's so much variety and contrast and unpredictability in there all the way, in all the pieces.
The title of the collection is Beethoven Unbound. Why Unbound?
Yes, it was not my original idea. My manager came up with the snazzy title, if you were, but basically what I was saying about mixing and matching the sonatas on the CDs, that's one aspect of it, because usually they're presented chronologically 1 to 32, so it's unbound from the usual way of presenting it.
For some reason, it put me in mind of Prometheus, Prometheus Unbound.
Yes, that's also a reference to that, Prometheus Unbound, Shelley, of course, yes.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't overemphasize the Promethean heroic aspect of Beethoven, because that's just one dimension, and there are several of others. A more comic side to Beethoven, a more homely side, as well as the big heroic pieces from the middle of his life. But personally, I wanted something a bit informal for the title, like A Box Full of Beethoven or Boxing with Beethoven or something. But I was told the French and the German markets just wouldn't get the puns, so we had to go with Beethoven Unbound. I'm not sure if they'll get that, but...
I like it. I like Boxing with Beethoven also.
Yes,
I may steal that for a podcast down the road.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, you mentioned different aspects of Beethoven, and I wonder if, for you personally, if you identify with any of those various personalities, if it were, of Beethoven. Is there anything that attracts you the most to his music?
Well, no, you have to really identify with everything if you're going to do the complete works. I mean, just like a great actor, you just have to inhabit the role you're doing at the moment, or just inhabit the piece. So if it's a humorous piece or a tempestuous piece or a very serene piece like the last movement of Opus 111, you just have to inhabit that world as well as you can.
How long have you been playing these sonatas and the other works? I mean, is this something you've been working on your whole life, or when did you find Beethoven for the first time?
Yes, well, the first one I learned was Opus 14, number 2, which I had to play for an associated board exam when I was about 10 years old. And I learned quite a few of those early ones around that time, and gradually learned the whole, all of the sonatas. I did my first complete sonata cycle in 2010 up in Scotland. And it was later I learned some of the earlier some of the other works on the CD, the Diabelli Variations. That's probably the most recent thing I've learned. So that was basically learned for this project.
I will say, for folks who are listening to this interview and may be interested in getting this 12 CD set, it's the kind of thing that you can just sort of let wash over you, all this music of Beethoven. Occasionally, a really well-known piece comes to the forefront, and then something else, you know, comes along with it. So it's a great survey, I guess, of Beethoven piano music.
Yes.
In the way that it's been compiled. What would you say to somebody who maybe is just a very casual listener of Beethoven, what would you want them to know about him and his music and his piano music in particular, if anything?
Well, as I was saying at the beginning of this interview, all of life is in there. There's so much variety, the humorous, the tragic, the stormy, the beautiful. Everything is in there. You just have to somehow enter into that world.
Yeah,
and you'll find it's all there in Beethoven. I don't know if that makes any sense, but
well, it does make sense. And Beethoven is certainly a world unto himself. And I think in this day and age, the music of Beethoven can be quite a refuge for everything else that's going on. I understand you're working on Schubert for your next
album. That's right, yes. We've recorded 3 concerts already. Judy Sherman has been coming over. We've been recorded in Cardiff this time. 2 more recitals to go. Hopefully a box set will come out in 2020.
Wow. Do you have a title for that one yet?
No, we haven't, but
Boxing with Schubert, perhaps? No?
I don't know.
Well, we look forward to that. Thanks so much for spending some time with us today here on FM 91.
Yeah, thank you for talking to me. It's been a pleasure.
It is a 12-CD set called Beethoven Unbound, available from Signum Classics, and we'll put some information about that on our website at wgte.org. Pianist Lear Williams, thanks again for joining us here from London, right here on FM 91.
Thank you very much.